But back to the red state, blue state thing. The thing that is that one of the fundamental differences in this thing that we call a culture war, it's not a culture war in large part. It's a difference in intellectual development. Okay? There are three basic stages of intellectual development, and then we decide what commitments to make in life. And I'm simplifying this theory from a guy named William Perry, so forgive me if you're familiar with Perry's work. But basically, there's three levels of intellectual development that we all go through. The first level is basic duality, black and white. You see every issue as there's a right or a wrong, there's a true or a false, there are no gray areas. And we all start that way. Our children start that way. And what gets uncomfortable for parents is after they've taught their child right and wrong, when the child sees that the parent is acting in a gray area, they say, well, Daddy, you just told a lie if you did this. Is that wrong? And you have to explain, well, there are little white lies and there are gray areas in life. That's multiplicity, where you realize there are multiple perspectives. Everything isn't black and white. Everything that's not the truth is not a, quote, out-and-out lie. There are different interpretations people put on facts. And you have to be somewhat tolerant and accept a range of interpretations for events. Your interpretation of events is not always the right interpretation or the only reasonable interpretation that can be put on events. So we often get to multiplicity and say, well, yeah, I realize there's a range of views, but my view is still correct, or my country's view is still correct. For a lot of people, that's as far as multiplicity goes, but they know they're out there and they don't condemn those people. They just happen to be wrong. You hear this today from both Karl Rove and his plan for the November elections, and then from people like Sean Hannity, who have been mouthing the same words, which is that we're not saying that Democrats are unpatriotic when they suggest an alternative course, when they suggest that a large part of the war on terror is police work and combing through financial records and finding these cells, rooting these cells out by using the laws of the countries the cells are in instead of going in for extraordinary rendition. They're saying that we're not saying they're unpatriotic when they say that that's how we should do it. We're just saying they're wrong. So this is, again, a black and white world. Our way is right. Your way is wrong. See, for me in Iraq, I was against it from the beginning. I thought it was a huge blunder. I still think it's a blunder. I think we've created more terrorists than we've killed. And I think we've blackened America's reputation in the U.S. It's worse than it was. But I still accept the notion that there's a chance that Bush is right about this, that going into Iraq will seed democracy across the Middle East over the next 20 years, that there'll be a ripple effect, and that it won't disrupt oil supplies, and it won't create more terrorists. It's possible he's right about that. I accept that that is possible. I think it's a slim chance. I think it was slim when he started, and I think it's slimmer now. But it's not outside the realm of possibility, because as a scientist, I'm not somebody who sees the world in black and white. Okay, so that's multiplicity. The third level of intellectual development scares people who are black and white thinkers. It scares people who are dualists. That is, that a dualist is somebody who sees everything as one or the other, black and white. And that is relativism. I've often heard Sean Hannity rail against relativism and Ann Coulter, and it scares them to death. But it turns out relativism is the third and final level of intellectual development. Relativism is the understanding that knowledge is by definition contextual. That is, depending on the context you're in, a white male American living in Northern Virginia in the year 2006 would be my case, with a certain income and a certain view of the world, a certain level of education, that is a context that has all my opinions, the paradigm through which I view the world, the lenses through which I view the world, that affects how I interpret every event that comes in. And mine, what I consider to be knowledge, that it'd be a mistake to go into Iraq. You know, I was pretty convinced of that. I wouldn't call it a fact, but it was pretty close to a fact for me. Okay? I don't assume that my fact is correct. I'm aware that I have a perspective, and that's what relativism will do for you. Not doubt your perspective, because I feel pretty strong, and I can argue with anybody out there from Hannity to President Bush about this course of action. But I'm not so gall dang sure that I write the other side off and say, you people are idiots. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong, and I'm absolutely right. That's what relativism does for you. Now, the Sean Hannitys of the world worry that relativism leads down this path of, oh, then there's no right and wrong. No, no, that's not true in relativism. What relativism does mean is you can't come to the ball game a priori and say, this is right because it's written in this book, or this is right because we've made a law, or this is right because I say it's right. You can't come to the party a priori and claim, I'll negotiate with you and I'll discuss opinions and policies, but understand that I have truth over here and I'm sure of it. No, that's no negotiation. Relativism says you cannot privilege a particular position based on anything but facts. You cannot privilege it based on tradition or some authority. You have to make your case from scratch along with everybody else. Otherwise, both sides say they win because the jihadists say they've got Allah on their side and somebody else says they've got God on their side. Where does it end? So relativism just takes that out of play and says, you can't claim beforehand you've got the truth. You have to come and make your case. So it ends up not being what Hannity fears, which is, oh, we don't know the right from wrong. Nobody knows what's right. No, you have to build your case. So when you build a case for something being morally wrong, like stealing or murder, you don't do it because you say, you know, it was written in the Bible. You do it because that's what works for society. You make the case that the only way you can have a civil society is by adhering to certain principles and showing respect for individual property and individual rights. Now, when you come from relativism, you end up in a very powerful position. The example I'll use here is when you go to look for a job. Let's take a kid getting out of college. I've had students before that didn't want to go to grad school when they finished college. They wanted to go right out and get a job in sales. But their father is a lawyer, and the father wanted him to be a lawyer, and the father has groomed him to be a lawyer, and the parents expect them to go to law school. So they come to me and talk to me about, I don't really want to go to law school. What should I do? Well, that's a tough one. Right? Here's what I'll say where relativism comes in. When that child was 10 years old, they probably agreed to be a lawyer. They probably said, yeah, I'd like to be a lawyer like my dad. But as they looked at their options, as they got older, and as they went through college and studied a little bit of sociology, a little bit of math, a little bit of science, a little bit of anthropology, a little bit of English, literature, a little bit of history, as you go through all that, you find out where your interests are. And you try out all these various things. And you no longer privilege being a lawyer and say, ah, the one true choice for me is law. You get exposed to a variety of things. And you say, you know, there's a lot of interesting perspectives out here. And being a lawyer is not the, quote, one right choice. Once you see a range of choices, once you see that context is everything, that knowledge is contextual, that the knowledge of an anthropologist is as valid as the knowledge of a lawyer, it just working out of a different domain of information and a different set of rules. Then you can say, you know, I'm going to choose my field based not on some a priori thing my father said I should do this or expects it of me, or the book says I should do it things a certain way, or somebody tells me X is true. No, I get to decide that I want to be a salesman in computers, because I believe in it. And here's the real power of this position. If that person looks at all those different fields and then decides to go to law school, they're going to law school because they have chosen law school, like a free choice as a free, independent person, not because their parents expected them to go to law school. They'd be miserable if they went to law school only because their parents expected it. But once they've looked at this other range of choices and then they freely choose law school, now you're talking. Now you've made a choice out of relativism, out of the notion that there are many possible ways I could go in life, and I'm choosing this one just because I'm choosing it. That's power. That's individual power, And that's doing what will work for you in life. And relativism is not something to be feared unless you don't have the intellectual horsepower for it. So the analogy I use is a boat bobbing on the bay or on the sea. Right? When the boat is tied up, let's imagine that Sean Hannity and I both own nice big sailboats. He probably does. And we're both on our sailboat, you know, sipping a bottle of water and talking to each other 20 feet apart. And we're anchored. We got anchors at front and back. And so although the bay's a little rough, we're not bobbing too much. We're pretty stable. Right? I'm willing to cut anchor and sail out into the sea. I may get bobbed around if I don't have those anchors, if I don't have that surety of right and wrong, of dualism, of knowing that this is the right answer and this is the wrong answer. If I'm willing to go out there and take a look at different things, different fields in the case of going to school and studying, different religions in the case of deciding what you believe about your spirituality, or different political points of view in the case of domestic politics, or stepping outside the U.S. perspective and looking at it from the perspective of Europe, from the perspective of a third world country, from the perspective of a variety of different places in the world, if you want to talk about international relationships. I'm willing to pull anchor and sail out onto the sea. Now, I'll bob around a little more, and I'll have to tack against the wind from time to time, but I've got freedom, and my perspective changes. My view changes. It's a lot more fun being out there on the sea. And when it comes to sailboating, Sean Hannity would probably agree, and when he's got his sailboat, he probably prefers to get out on the ocean to staying in the bay because he knows how to handle his sailboat if he has one, or he's got people with him that can help him. But that's the way it is with intellectual development. If you've got the tools, you don't mind pulling up anchor. That is getting rid of these absolute beliefs we tend to have that, oh, this can only be this way. And going out and investigating things and saying, you know, let's look at it from another perspective. That's maturity. And when you have it, you can afford to pull up anchor and cast away and see what's out there and take a variety of viewpoints. You'll come back to your fundamental beliefs in general, but you may just modify those somewhat and be a little more tolerant of people, a little more tolerant of other points of view, and a little more understanding that your perspective is bound by its context and isn't by definition true just because you believe it's true and just because you've been taught that it's true. So when it comes to intellectual development, the Sean Hannitys of the world, the Ann Coulters of the world, the George Bushes of the world, they're going to stay anchored. Because they're scared to death. They don't have the tools. They're not good sailors in the intellectual world. They're not really capable of going out there. They'll get buffeted around. Their boat might capsize because they don't know how to manage in that rough water. They need to stay at the shore. They need to stay anchored in the bay. And so we laugh at them as we drive by and we go out into the ocean. But that's not fair because they just don't have the skills. They just don't have the intellectual horsepower to do what the rest of us can do. So try not to laugh at them when you go by. Wave to them. And if you have to feel sorry for them, you can. But don't take a superior attitude because that actually won't work. It'll just make them madder because they don't understand what you understand. So I guess what I'm advising is that we don't engage these folks quite as much as we have been. You know, we've got the 20%ers all over the airwaves, and they mostly want to fight with us because they don't really understand the issues. So I'm all for getting the 20%ers off the airwaves and having mature discussions, which we've been missing. But it'll take a while to accomplish that. In the meantime, be nice to them. That'll do it for this edition of The Andy Finn Show. We'll be back Monday night on WEBR and again next Thursday on the TAFS Radio Network. Until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.